If you've truly been saved, then you will have a desire to know Christ when sin is not in the way. When sin gets in the way, that desire goes out the window. I'll tell you that right now. You'll have a desire for His Word. When babies are born, they desire milk. When we were born again, we should desire the Word of God. And if you don't, maybe you don't know it, or sin has gotten in the way.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today's Letter Day. And I have a comment left on our website from Walt in Phoenix. He says, good morning. I just heard the sermon by Greg on 88.3 FM Phoenix, Arizona. And the sermon was on the Apostle Paul's journey to righteousness in Christ. And I very much appreciate it. That message meant a lot to me. And so I thank you for it, Walt. Well, Walt, you're very welcome, and thank you for sharing your comment with us on the website. We are so thankful for how the Lord is using His Word, and so may the Lord bless you.
Greg, today we wrap up our look at the marks of a true believer, and in the message today, you highlight an important step in this process.
You know, Dave, this passage is so rich that I could spend an entire month on it, not just a week. Because each phrase that is written by Paul, inspired by the Spirit, has significant applications for our lives. Now, today we'll actually see three important realities for the true believer as exemplified by the Apostle Paul, and each one of these building on the last one. It's a powerful exhortation for all of us. Our text is Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And this is the word which was preached to you. As the Apostle Paul would share to the Colossians, as therefore you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. How did we receive Christ? We believed the truth that God had revealed about Himself in Scripture, and we called upon Him in a personal way based on that truth. We related to Him based on the truth of the Word of God. And that's how we grow in respect to salvation. That's how we grow in our relationship with Christ. John 17:17, Jesus prays, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. True conversion should lead to a desire to know Him. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word that you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. True believers, like a baby that is born, have a desire for food, for milk, that they would grow. And like that, we should have a desire for the pure milk of the Word that we would grow in our relationship with Him in respect to salvation. Salvation is about knowing Christ intimately and relationally. And Peter makes it clear how we grow in our salvation in that portion I just read. We also see this in 2 Peter, as I've mentioned before. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's what's important. A relational knowledge of Him. Seeing that His divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through what? The true knowledge of Him. When we walk with Christ, we rely on Him. We abide in Him. We walk with Him, letting His Word work in our hearts. He enables us for everything we need, right? And He says here, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence, for by these He has granted us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature. You might be like Christ. Not be Christ, but like Him. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. If you've truly been saved, then you will have a desire to know Christ when sin is not in the way. When sin gets in the way, that desire goes out the window. I'll tell you that right now. You'll have a desire for His Word. When babies are born, they desire milk. When we were born again, we should desire the Word of God. And if you don't, Maybe you don't know Him, or sin has gotten in the way. Remember, this is Paul's testimony in comparison to false brethren. A true believer wants to know Christ. And if you've never had that desire, maybe you've never tasted the kindness of the Lord, but you can. You can taste His kindness by trusting in Jesus Christ and believe that can happen today. Well, let me ask you this. Do you have a desire to know Christ? What direction did the heart of Paul take after conversion? He desired to know Him. He desired to know Him. This should be our focus. If not, there's two things we need to do. One, examine yourself to see if you're saved. Two, check to see if maybe you've been hardened by sin. And just confess and be forgiven right away and praise Him for who He is and what He's done. Well, now at this point, notice there's two related areas to knowing Christ. Two related areas that He shares. Verse 10, that I may know Him, and then notice this first one, and the power of His resurrection. That I may know Him and His resurrection power. You see, the resurrection proves that Jesus Christ is who He said He was. Romans chapter 1 says His Son was declared by the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection best illustrates the surpassing greatness of His power. Remember Jesus said, destroy this temple and I will raise it in 3 days. It reveals His power. The resurrection proves that Christ had power over death, sin, Satan and his cohorts, and the physical and spiritual worlds. He defeated death. He defeated Satan. He defeated sin. He resurrected from the dead. He rose from the dead. And Paul says that I would know His resurrection power. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever desired to know the resurrection power of Christ? Now, that needs to be qualified. Because we in our sinfulness might want to use power for our own will. Right? His resurrection power was not for His own will, not my will, but Thy will be done. To die for our sins and rise from the dead. Now, this type of knowledge, is it out of reach for the believer to know His resurrection power? Is it out of reach for you and I? No. Indeed, Paul prayed this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. He prayed that these Ephesians would know His resurrection power. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith of the Lord Jesus, which exists among you in your love for the saints, hey, you're true believers, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that, verse 17, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's, you could say, spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that you'll know Him better. You'll have spiritual wisdom and revelation in that. And notice what he says after this. He says here, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now, some have a note in there. New King James, I believe, translates it better. You could translate it this way. Having had the eyes of your heart enlightened. Since this has happened, since you see now, he says, so that you may know 3 things. What is the hope of His calling? What is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? You'd know that, brothers and sisters. And then look at the last one here. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe? And he's going to go on to say this is resurrection power. He wants us to know the surpassing greatness of His power towards us for becoming like Christ, by the way, as we'll see. The power that comes from God to make us like Him. And notice what he says here. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Resurrection power. And seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That I may know the power of His resurrection. Resurrection power in Christ. I want to know His power in my life. I want to see Him work powerfully in my life to make me more like His Son. I want to see that. And then notice, to go with that, he also talks about the fellowship of His sufferings. You see, the resurrection power that rose Christ with enables us to have victory over sin, death, Satan, and the world. It enables us to have victory. It's only by Christ that you can do anything. Apart from Him, you could do nothing. But when His resurrection power is manifest in us as we trust Him, we have victory over sin and Satan and death, obviously. But notice also, he talks about that I may know Him, verse 10, and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, one thing I want you to realize here is he doesn't say that I may suffer. He says, I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Sufferings is part and parcel for true believers. But there is a special bond that happens when you suffer with someone. Think about it. Have you ever suffered in a situation with anyone? You know, you have people who suffer together in war, whatever it might be. There's a bond that comes together. So you suffer in a situation with a spouse. There's a bond that grows in that suffering, that mutual suffering. There's a closeness in that. The term fellowship comes from the word koinonia, means participation or sharing. Now, he's not speaking of the suffering unto death for our atonement. That's finished. He's speaking of the suffering that comes for following Christ, the suffering that is intended for Jesus Christ and comes to his followers. He's talking about suffering for Christ for righteousness' sake while on this earth that results from obediently doing the will of God. It's a suffering we encounter that is meant for Jesus when we do his will and not our own. And within that, in that suffering, there is a bond that happens when you suffer with someone for the right thing. I want to know the fellowship. I want to grow in my relationship with him in the midst of suffering. I want to grow in that. 1 Peter chapter 2 speaks of this. He says, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, speaks of the suffering that reveals we are blessed because we have a relationship with him. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree you share the sufferings of Christ, sharing those sufferings, to the degree you participate in those sufferings, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Because why? The Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. You're a real believer. You got a real relationship with the living God. By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer, thief, evildoer, troublesome meddler, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name, let him glorify God. We know from Matthew chapter 5, there is great reward for suffering for Christ. A reward in heaven is great. Think about it, that special closeness that happens between two persons when they share the same suffering. There's a closeness in it. Paul doesn't say that I would suffer, but that I would, in a sense, know him, the power of his resurrection, and know the fellowship of his sufferings. You ever thought that way? Have you ever thought, I want to know his resurrection power in my life for victory over sin? I want to know the fellowship, that intimacy that comes when I suffer for doing what's right in him. Paul wants to share that intimate communion with Christ that one shares when they suffer with him. So Paul counted all his loss to gain Christ, and he gained his righteousness. That's the beginning of salvation. But then he had a deep desire to know him intimately, relationally, with practical knowledge of Christ. And lastly, notice we see he had a deep desire to be like him. I want to know him. I want to be like him. That's what we should be doing. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. End of verse 10, being conformed to his death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. You see, he connects the knowledge of Christ and his power and his sufferings with his conforming purposes. Be conformed to his death. Being conformed, that I may know, being conformed to his death. You see, as we get to know Christ more, we understand his power in our lives and we suffer with him, we begin to become more like him, being conformed to his death. The term conformed here is actually the word soon, morphizo. Soon means with, so you could say conformed with, by the way, that's adding a with in there. Morphizo, we get our word morphe or morph, right? It speaks of an outward expression of one's true inward nature. You know, you see it on whatever TV stuff where someone morphs into something, they morph into what they really are, right? You see what they really are, right? He says, soon, to be conformed with. Being conformed with what? His death. What's that mean? Well, we know Jesus died physically to redeem sinners. But to die that death, Jesus had to die to his will, entrusting himself to the Father, so as to bring about physical death. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross, to redeem sinners. So I believe Paul has a desire for his inner desire to be manifest in his outward behavior. One pastor writes, Paul's desire was that he might come to know his Lord, the power of his resurrection operative in his life, the joint participation of his sufferings, that he would be brought to a place where he would become both in his inner heart and life, and also as the outward expression the same, like his Lord with respect to his death. Not merely his physical death, which was for others, but his death to self, as illustrated so vividly to the Philippians in the self-emptying of the Lord Jesus Christ, going to the cross to die for us. You see, Jesus Christ died to sin. He died for our sins. We'll see that in Romans chapter 6. You see, when we go through suffering and difficulties, God uses that to make us like Christ, to die to ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said, we had the sense of death within ourselves. We were suffering in order that we would not trust in ourselves, but the God who raises the dead. We see that in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, always carrying out in the body the dying of Jesus. But it doesn't just stop here. Notice what follows. What follows death to self is life. He says, being conformed to his death in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, before you jump ahead and think he's speaking of literal resurrection here, this is a very difficult verse to interpret. There's some people who say it's one of the most difficult in the Bible. I don't know if it's that one, but it's pretty difficult. And the reason why there are two interpretive problems that I have to share, and hopefully if I share this, we'll come to a conclusion and understand what's being said here. But he says, in order that I might attain, and it speaks of if perhaps somehow I might arrive. And that's a difficulty because, wait a second, Paul is clear in other passages he's going to be resurrected. There's no doubt he's going to be resurrected. He is clear that God will complete the work he started. He's clear. Other passages are very clear about that. You can read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He is assured that he will not remain bodiless or naked, as he shares, that he's going to be glorified. He knows that. So that's the first problem. Some have said he's just being humble, that I might arrive. I don't think that's the case. Now, the first problem is actually answered by the second problem, by the way, which is the term used for resurrection. The usual term for resurrection in Scripture is anastasis. That means resurrection. This word is a unique word only found once in Scripture where there's a preposition added to it. Ek anastasis, which means out from, out resurrection. So what's he talking about? That I might attain the out resurrection. What is he talking about here? Well, some say he's speaking of bodily resurrection. I don't think that's what he's saying in light of, because Paul wouldn't doubt this. Secondly, they think maybe it's being resurrected when Christ comes, that I would be there when Christ comes. That's possible. The third possibility is he is speaking of, as we see in Romans chapter 6, the spiritual resurrection from the dead, the very idea that Paul conveyed in Romans chapter 6 about being united with Christ in his death and his resurrection life. Look at Romans chapter 6 as we finish up. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. He says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace might increase? No way. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? The principle that true believers, if we abide in Christ, we're actually dead to sin. And notice what he says here. He says here, or do you not know that all who have been baptized or placed into Christ Jesus have been placed into or baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. He says here, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And later on he'll say, therefore consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. That I might be conformed to his death in relationship to sin and my will, and I'll be raised in resurrection power, in a sense, walking in the power of his resurrection. I think the third possibility is the most reasonable, and I think the next few verses actually affirm that. that he talks about here, that I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Look back in our passage, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it. He's not speaking about physical resurrection. Or that I have already become perfect. He's talking about a synonymous thought, that I've become complete or mature. He's talking about maturity in Christ. But I press forward towards that goal, not physical resurrection, but being like Christ, dead to sin and alive to Christ. Being like that, I press forward. So the reference to his being conformed to his death, I believe, dying to sin as we experienced then his resurrected life out of the dead. And he's going to go on and say, that's what I press forward to, brothers and sisters, this upward call to become like Christ. And the only way to become like Christ is to die to sin and be alive to God in Christ. It's the only way. Is this not what he shares in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? He says, always carrying out the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our body. One last portion here, pastor writes, the thought here is the same as the preceding verse. The apostle is not thinking of a future yet time, the first resurrection when the dead shall rise and all believers shall receive their glorified bodies. He is thinking of the daily Christian walk in the flesh, actual righteousness of Christ produced in the life. The character of Christ is his goal. He will never reach it while in the flesh, but he desires to go as far as he possibly can in that direction, to daily experience the power of Christ's resurrection in one's life. One last passage. Turn to Galatians 2:20. Here's the mindset of a true believer. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I've died. I've died with Christ. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I live by faith in him. That's how I live. So what am I saying here? Paul desired to be conformed to the death of Christ, so that he would live the resurrection life in Christ, so that Christ could live through him. And that's what being conformed to his image is like. So how about you? What are your desires? Do you want to be more like Christ? Is that your desire? Is that an overwhelming desire? When you fail, you don't want to be that way. You want to be like Christ. When you get irritated, upset, worried, don't trust the Lord, whatever it might be, you see that as wrong. You want to be like Christ. I want to die to sin and live to Christ. I want his power manifest in my life. I want to know him. This is the testimony of a true believer. So we've seen Paul counted all his loss in order to gain Christ, and he gained him in his righteousness. That's the beginning of salvation. And he had a deep desire to know him intimately. And lastly, he had a deep desire to be like him, knowing that being conformed to his death brings about the resurrection life.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, let's quickly review those three realities the Apostle Paul exemplified.
You know, Dave, the first one was a desire to know Christ and his resurrection power. You see, it's his power that gives us victory over sin. Second, to be identified with the fellowship of his sufferings. This is one we never hear people talk about, but it's a necessary reality for the Christian life. You see, there are the sufferings for the glories to follow. Then third, there is the denial of self, the death to selfish ambition. Paul, having trusted in Christ, died to himself in order that he might be raised with Christ. My challenge to you today is simply this. Could you say that the things Paul said about himself apply to you? Could your testimony be the same as his? If not, where are you lacking? Where do you need to bring your life in line with the Lord's revealed will for your life? I would encourage and exhort you to examine your life in light of God's Word, be honest with yourself and with the Lord, and where you need to change, confess and allow God's Word to change you. You'll be glad you did it.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.